Well, good morning. Give it up for the Initiative Band for coming out here. These guys are awesome. This is the second time we've kind of got to kind of hang out and do a D-Now together. And I've really just kind of enjoyed watching them. And we're from the same area, so I get to watch the things that they do. And I've just loved it. For you, though, for those of you who don't know, my name is Jared Scott. My wife, Christina, is here with me. And we're from Arlington, Texas. I pastor a church out there. So we're just really happy to be here hanging out with you guys, being involved with the students, but more importantly for me as someone in ministry, being able to watch the student council and the host homes and the college students really invest into the students of the church here, that has brought so much joy into our hearts, because that's a really big deal for us. So this weekend, we talked about what does it mean to be prepared? And as you see on the shirt, it says, know it, grow it, and show it. And we talked about knowing it, knowing who God is, knowing who Jesus is. And in 1 Peter 2, it tells us that we should be ready to make a defense for our faith in gentleness and love. And today what we're going to talk about is how do we show it? How do we show our faith and what we know and what we grow? And in order to do that, we first have to know what it is. And I was just sitting over there back home, everyone makes fun of me because I always find some way to put Romans 12 into some sermon. And I wasn't planning on it, but I just have to. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 says this. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And when it says renewal of your mind, it's telling us to renew our minds on the scriptures of the word of God and on the love of God so that we may be able to act on it. Just as the psalmist says, Lord, I meditate on your words day and night. And that is my prayer for us as a body and as the church. And it's something that I try to live myself. I know many of us try to live, and we're not perfect at it, but may we learn to meditate harder and harder. So today is next week I do the same thing at our church. I've been doing D-Nows. I've been a part of D-Now for 15 years. I've been leading D-Nows for 9 years now. And now on the last day, there's always the same question. Where do we go from here? What's next? What when tomorrow hits and we go back to school, we go back to work, what is the goal? So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 28. You're probably pretty aware of what's in Matthew 28. Jesus is about to ascend back to heaven. He's going to give some final words to his disciples as they watch him go back to heaven. And these are these final words. They are words of encouragement, but they're also commands. And in fact, there's two commands in this little passage. And they're very challenging, and we know them, we hear them, but we don't always live them out. Verses 16 through 20 say, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And they saw him, and they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, with all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. You may be seated. So there's two commands in here. One is to go and share our faith. And as a church, just in general, evangelism is kind of on the forefront. We talk about that a lot. We talk about sharing our faith, knowing the word of God, being able to say why we believe what we believe. But after that becomes this other command, is to go and make disciples. Telling is not the end goal. Being able to share your faith, to be able to say who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, that is not the end goal. But the end goal is to tell and then invest into that life. It says, teach them all that I've commanded. I don't know if you realize this. All that he commanded is in this book, and it's a lot. And it takes more than 4 days. It does take a lifetime. Because even at, I'm a young 28-year-old guy, and I'm still learning. I have two biblical degrees, and all I've learned is that I don't know a whole lot so far. That I have to learn a lot more. that God has called me to do more than I can imagine. We just sang the song in Oceans, and we talked about this other night, where it says, Lord, lead me where my feet would never wander, so that my faith may be stronger. And when we say that, it's really just, it's a declaration saying that, God, take me to a place where I don't want to go. That is basically what you're saying. God, take me to something that's really uncomfortable. God, take me to this place that I have zero desire to go, but you have called me to do it, so give me that strength. And every time we sing those words, I have to pause, because I always have to ask my question myself, am I ready to say that to God? Am I ready to take that jump, or am I willing just to take that jump? It's a question we all have to ask, because it is a jump. Because after salvation, when we understand who God and Jesus is, and he says, come and follow me, it is, yes, believe and to know, but following requires action. If you would, turn to James chapter 1. I love the book of James. It's a really great book. It's a very practical book. When people ask me, where should I start reading the Bible, I usually say Mark or James. Mark, because it's a short gospel, and it's kind of black and white. There's nothing really hidden there. And James, because it's so practical. James, written by the brother, is the brother of Jesus. And in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, it says this. It says, be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. Salvation does come from hearing. It's written in the scriptures, Jesus said it himself. But hearing leads to something. Hearing leads to doing. And so often, as we get older in Christianity, so many people, I've known people are like, I've been a Christian for 30 years. And I go, well, okay, cool, so who are you discipling? Oh, I can't. I don't know enough. I'm not sure if I can do that thing. I'm not good enough. And what I've learned in Christianity, that's the only place that we can ever say that and be accepted. If you go into a workplace, someone that's been there 15, 20 years, they're expected to teach the younger ones, the newer ones. And if they don't, there's an issue. And I find it so odd that in Christianity that we're accepting of this. And that's not the truth at every church. I'm not saying that's the truth here, but this is just my experience of going around doing different stuff at different churches, that we as Christians sometimes can get real comfortable where we're at. And I've learned that sometimes being so comfortable is the most painful thing to be in. Because later on in James chapter 2, verse 18, it says this. It says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. And I say, show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, don't mistake me saying that your works define your faith, right? I can never be good enough for Jesus. I can never be good enough for God the Father. I cannot earn my way to salvation. But it's because of my salvation. It's because of the hope in Jesus. It's because of the Holy Spirit coming into my life and changing me to become more like Jesus, become more like the Father, that my works reflect that. Because of having God in my life, I can't help but serve others. To serve my enemy, to serve those who are different than I am. And sometimes I need a good kick in the rear to do that, and sometimes it's natural. But the goal is to be the doer and not just a hearer. Because it's real easy to put these words into memory and then just to walk away. My wife spends a lot of time memorizing scripture, and I adore her for that, because it takes a lot of discipline. Because I'm able to kind of jump around to these spots. But I always think of Jesus' temptation. The first thing he does when Satan goes, well, come and do this. And he goes, no, for the Lord has said this. Come and do this. No, for the Lord has said this. And he battles these temptations with scripture. And Jesus' last word is, go and make disciples, teaching them all that I have commanded, that the Lord has commanded, the old and the new. And again, I said this, so my job where I pastor, I'm over kids through young adults. So I do kids, students, college, and young adults. And part of our goal is we love Wednesdays, we love Sundays, but it's to make sure that people are set up outside of the church. My life, my background is my dad left at a young age, and my mother died at a young age, and so it was just me and my older biological sister. And when I look back, it was the people that took this scripture seriously to take the time to disciple me. They weren't deacons, they weren't elders, they weren't pastors. There are just some people down the street that we went to church with that grabbed me and my sister and fed us and clothed us, both physically and spiritually. And this is the family that I call my mom and dad now. And my wife calls them mom and dad, and we have family together. And so discipleship, again, is not for the pastors. It is not for the student leaders or the council, whatever you may call them, but it's for us as individuals. And you may go, Jared, I don't have the patience for a 16-year-old. And that's fine. Because discipleship doesn't end at 18. Discipleship doesn't begin at 16. So hear me when I say this, because I'm really talking to you too. You can start discipling people. In fact, it's your call. You can disciple people. Because that's your call. You need to be discipled. One of my mentors, he is 62. The person that mentors him is 70s. In fact, he has a mentor that's even older than him. We start seeing this waterfall of discipleship. You start seeing the effects of the wisdom coming down farther and farther, but also the wisdom going back up. Even at 28, there's a lot of things my 16-year-olds teach me about culture and about what's going on and how people feel and how people think, and it's extremely helpful. And it even helps me see God in a different light. Yes, it is costly, but Jesus tells us that it is costly. But he also tells us that it's so worth it. Because it's not under our own power, but it's under the power of the Holy Spirit coming to talk through us as we renew our minds by the word of God. It is one of the most rewarding things that you can ever imagine. And we all have different gifts. As we're the body of Christ, and as you leave here to go be the church, because again, I told the students last night this, and I'm going to say it again, this building is not the church. This building is going to go away one day. It's going to be torn down, it's going to fall apart, it's going to break. And guess what? The church still exists. Because these four walls are nothing. You and I as believers are the body of Christ. You and I as believers are the church. And when you're outside of the here, the church is still shown. Your actions to your coworkers, to your families, to your friends, to your teachers, that is where Jesus is shown the most, not in this room. There are not only just these students, and I've gotten to talk to some of these students, and I got to hear some of their stories. And honestly, last night, we just sat in heartbreak. As you can tell, I love teenagers. My heart's for them. And that may not be your heart. Your heart may be for someone who's in their 20s or 30s who need that discipleship, who need that impact. But if God has done a work in your life, it should just overflow. Don't become numb to what God has done. Don't become numb to the hope that has been given and shared to us over and over again when we open God's word, when we come here and listen to people speak. But follow it and run after it and do the things that God has called you to do, because the rewards are unimaginable. They're not riches, they're not money, they're not gonna make your names put in lights. In fact, I hate being up here This is not my thing. This terrifies me every time. But God has called me to speak, and so I do, and God has called you to invest in others. It is our command as a whole, not just some. If you don't believe me, go read Acts. It takes over the church, and it grows rapidly and rapidly and rapidly. Because there's some people that I can't reach that you can. And there's some people that you can't reach that I can. So I challenge you, church. I challenge us. I challenge myself. Don't be passive, but disciple someone. You don't have to disciple 12 people. Because even in the 12, as you read and really study, Jesus really focused on three. But even just choosing one person to take under your wing, to take home and to feed and to clothe and to teach them the word of God and to hear about their heartaches and their joys. You're also finding someone to do the same with you, whether you're 72 or 12. That is how we make a difference in our community. Talk is cheap. Actions speak so much louder than words. It's a phrase that we've heard probably throughout most of your life. And we all go, yes, I agree. So live like it. Keep each other accountable. My wife has full reign to call me out when it's time, and she does. And I'm very thankful that she does. She does it lovingly most of the time. But I'm glad she does. But may you find someone to disciple you and to call you out and to pull you up when you're broken, because that time will come. So go grow in this, in discipleship with somebody else. Grow in it in your time of worship at home through reading the scripture, through singing your own songs at home. If you don't know a song, turn on the radio, find one in scripture, sing it out loud, but do it here as a body. In this building, outside this building, wherever it may be. Set an example for these students. Because they're always looking. Sometimes the best testimony doesn't involve your words, but just what they can see around town. And I guarantee you they see it. We're so appreciated that you've asked us to come hang out with y'all, to come and teach, to come pour in and invest. We would love to come back one day and do some more. I have loved seeing the college students and the leaders and the host homes and seeing the age ranges really invest in not only these students, but just hearing how they invest in the community around here. And for that, I thank you. Because that's not always normal. But may it become our normal. If God is calling you to turn over your life, please don't wait. He's not asking you to come and be perfect before Him, because He knows you're not. But He has already paid your debt, has already made you clean. So as Pastor Robert comes back up near the invitation and the band comes back up, I just want to pray for you one more time. I wish we could show you the gratitude of our hearts for us letting us be here. God, we come before you. God, with humble hearts and open minds, Father, that I pray that our ears are open to your voice, that our feet are ready to move where you've called us to move, our hands are ready to work in the areas you've called us to work in. God, our hope is in you. God, because you know what's to come, and you know what's behind, you know our thoughts, our hearts, our desires, like no one else can. God, we just thank you for the body of believers here, as this has been such an incredible part of the church to see. But God, may we be willing to take the leap to places where our feet would never go if it weren't for your call. May our faith be made stronger through your word and through the actions you've called us to do, through the encouragement of the believers around us. God, I pray for those who may have made a decision to follow you, to give their life over to you, that we can encourage them. God, that we can invest in them and disciple them, that they would disciple others. God, as you have called us to grow. Thank you for your blessings and for your mercy. We praise things in Jesus' name. Amen.